And anti-fascism, reflections on the past and possibilities in the present. Join us for a concert July 7th featuring Egyptian Cotton Orchestra, Montreal Free Jazz, Kim Dong Wong, free improv based on Korean traditional music, Skunk Heaven, New York City Noise, on July 7th, 2022, at 9 p.m., La Sala Rosa, 4848 Saint Laurent. For more information on the concert and conference on protest music and anti-fascism, music and antifascism.wordpress.com. This concert, with generous support from Suoni per il Popolo and Popolo Press. This is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
can I play you some of the new things I've been doing, which I think could be commercial?
Hey, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, and this is All Things McGill.
There's a lover in the story, but the story's still the same. There's a lullaby for suffering and a paradox to blame. But it's written in the scriptures and it's not some idle claim. You want it darker? We kill the flame. Prisoners and the guards had taken aim. I struggled with some demons, they were middle class and tame. I didn't know I had permission to murder and to maim. You want it darker?
Yeah. Hi, welcome back to CKUT 90.3 FM. This is All Things McGill. I'm Rose.
I'm Maya. We're on Zoom.
Let's try it again.
I'm Rose.
I'm Annika.
And I'm Maya.
And today we're on Zoom because I have COVID-19. Have you heard of it?
Have you heard of it? I mean, I don't know. It's pretty rare, right? I haven't heard
of it. Yeah. I think everybody in Montreal got it. Everybody except you two got it this
week. No, it wasn't even Montreal. It was McGill. Everyone at McGill got it this week. It's Gert. It was Gert's St. Patty's Day that did it.
I think so.
And I didn't even go to Gert's St. Patty's Day.
I didn't go either.
That's the sad part about it. But you know, you live with people and that's the price you pay.
Indeed.
No, I think we got it from this one party and I didn't like the party. I stay there for 30 minutes. Boom.
No way we got it then.
You should have left after 15 minutes. You wouldn't have gotten it.
If I had left under 15 minutes, I would not have gotten it. But yes, it is because the night before, all the people who were at that party got COVID infected at the party before.
It definitely was.
So there were so many sources for everyone to get it. Anyways.
Actually, but the window was open, so there was ventilation.
Oh, right. The window was open in like a 6-foot ceiling room with way too many people. As soon as I left, there was just this flood of people who entered. And I was like, you know what? This is exactly what I needed to push myself out of this house because I didn't know any of them. And they each gave me the side eye. And I was like, okay, cool. I was wearing Maddie Euphoria pants.
Yeah, probably because you looked so good. They gave me a side eye. They were like, oh my God, who's that girl? Hope she doesn't come for our significant others. So let's get into the McGill news this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's happening at McGill? For the first time in all things McGill history, at least while it's been owned by us, we're going to talk about things that are going on at McGill. Because usually I find that the drama is like really unnecessary and it's like individual centered and I don't care. But here it's like, okay, there's actually something that we care about and McGill is threatening the human rights of individuals. And that is something we care about.
True.
Indeed.
Also, okay, but also there's tea with the SMU president.
Right.
Who allegedly is very weird to women and they want to impeach him. Because they took him off. They suspended him or whatever for a couple months.
Yeah, and then
I think it's because with pay. I think it's because
people they get kind paid? Of,
yeah.
Yes,
they get paid like 30K a year.
No, they do not.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what we're paying for?
Yes. And he got suspended and continued to get paid.
Yeah. And also because of Kate. So he got suspended when everyone sort of found out that he was being weird to women. And then a couple months go by and they're like, oh, the fanfare has died down and they reinstated him. So like that was a great ploy.
And yeah, they exactly. also hired an investigator or something who didn't find anything apparently.
What's his name?
Darshan.
Okay.
So now that's a whole separate issue. The big cheese for this week is our dear friend Fabrice LeBeau, his lovely email to the McGill community where he goes on a rampage against the Palestinian human rights solidarity policy. So Rose, do you have up the actual tenets of the policy?
Yeah, I wanted to read one key sentence of the email, which is just kind of like, he says, I am saddened to witness the unfolding of an initiative that can only bring more division to our community. Okay, T, interesting. Let's read the Palestine Solidarity Policy's action points, action items.
I'm so sorry.
Moose Google Doc document. Why not?
What I will say before we get into this, that this policy is not without flaws, namely the fact that like, in the policy, they only cite themselves. Like they don't cite any other sources. So that's a bit of a.
Yeah, it did look, you know, a little undeveloped, but I'm sure that once it was enacted or voted in, they would have probably added more stuff to it and made it more substantive. Anyways, so the first action point is the SMU shall campaign for McGill's public condemnation of cannery mission, and other surveillance or smear campaigns against Palestinian and pro-Palestine students. And this is like very well known in the McGill community that they have like a blacklist of all the people who have spoken out against Israel's genocide of Palestinian people. So that's something, a little bit of background on that. The second action item is the SMU shall make at least one public statement each semester, including a statement on Nakba Day, reaffirming the SMU solidarity with Palestinian students and with Palestinian liberation from settler colonial apartheid. Each of these statements shall be authored by the SMU Palestine Solidarity Committee. Okay, three, the SMU shall completely boycott all corporations and institutions complicit in settler colonial apartheid against Palestinians. So no SodaStream at SMU events. That's all you gotta say.
Okay, and for the record, that is the only time in this policy where they mentioned the word boycott. I don't know why I pronounce boycott like that. Boycott. Anyway, but Fabrice's email makes a point to be like, they echoed very key like phraseology from boycott, divest, sanctions.
Yeah, like rhetoric whatever. Was, and it's like, that's not reminiscent.
Yeah, and it's like, you can make that judgment for yourself, but reading the actual statement, there's no direct link to BDS. So
yeah. Number four is the SMU shall campaign for McGill University's complete. Oh, I messed up. Okay, number five. The SMU shall completely divest from all corporations complicit in settler colonial apartheid against Palestinians. The SMU shall campaign for McGill University's complete divestment from all corporations complicit in settler colonial apartheid against Palestinians. Number seven, the SMU shall form a Palestine Solidarity Committee composed of at least one SMU political campaign coordinator, one SMU executive, and at least four members of Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights McGill. In the event of any question, conflict, or uncertainty regarding the correct application of the policy, the Palestine Solidarity Committee shall make a binding decision by majority vote. The decision shall then be ratified by the student body in the earliest subsequent SMU referendum. The policy shall remain in force for a period of 5 years, starting from the moment of its adoption by the student body.
Sounds pretty reasonable to me.
I do see
the flaws.
I see that there are flaws. Like, I'm not going to come on here and be like, this is a perfect policy, like 100% it should be adopted. And also, like, I do think that if like you're putting a policy forward to the student body to vote on it, it should be finished. And it should be more well developed than that. Like, mm-hmm. it's not super well laid out exactly what measures they want to see in place. And also, it does elevate Students for Peace or for Palestinian Human Rights to a level that, it's a SMU committee, which is not a level that like other SMU clubs have access to. But that being said, I did vote for the policy.
It's a good initiative.
It's a good initiative. And 71% of the McGill student body that voted in the referendum also voted for it. So regardless of what anyone's personal thoughts are on the matter, it was a democratically passed policy. So
yeah, and in the policy, it says, number eight, in the event of any question, conflict, or uncertainty regarding the correct application, it's going to be a democratic like move forward. They're going to vote on it. Which I think is encouraging, and it's a good way to, it's not going to be a unilateral move forward. It's going to be a democratic move forward from different parties voting on it. So I think that's a good way to carry on this kind of policy. So it means that there's going to be democracy throughout its implication, which I think is important. So yeah, democracy rings true, but McGill never really liked that, you know? I'm in time. I mean, as we can see with what's going on in the arts lobby, like everybody's for divest, like staying in tents and pleading for more democratic action at McGill. But they're just not into that because it's the core of the issue. The core of the issue is that they don't listen to their student body. That's it.
Yeah, and also like they were threatening to disband the agreement that SMU has with McGill that, you know, allows them to form a union on campus and operate their businesses and work in a building on campus. And it, like, they can't threaten to do that unilaterally. Like, they can't make the decision for themselves that they're going to terminate the agreement if, like, in the agreement that Smoo has with McGill in the first place, it says that if there's any issue with either side of the either party violating the agreement, they have to go through an adjudication process to figure out, you know, what happened. And from there on, they can decide if they want to disband the Smoo or whatever. But like, it's not a thing that Fabrice could just threaten on an email. And also, like, can you imagine the fallout if they were to disband the student union? Like, that would make, I'm 100% sure that would make national news, if not like international news. So,
yeah.
I mean, like, I do kind of think it's an empty threat, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and apparently, like, the only thing it would change is that Smoo wouldn't be able to say it's affiliated with McGill University, but...
Well, then they couldn't use their buildings, and they couldn't run Gertz and stuff.
Oh, Smoo runs Gertz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not losing Gertz again.
I don't know who designed Gertz. That's the issue.
Well, that whole building is horrible.
I like it better upstairs, but the basement of Gertz, like, who... Why did we say no to windows? I don't really.
I like the vibes in there.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
There are windows. What are you talking about?
There are windows in one corner.
Yeah, that's all you need.
I don't know. It gives a weird vibe. But I guess if everybody's drinking on campus, like, they don't want windows into that.
Yeah, I don't want to be able to see out also onto the like walkway where people are studiously going from class to class while I'm getting blackout at 4 p.m. on a Thursday.
Oh, actually, I think I know why. It's because the staircase to the Smoo building is intersects with the Gertz, so there would be no windows to implement.
There would be no view. Yeah, on St. Patty's Day, there were all of these tours happening around campus.
Really?
I thought it was so funny because I would see out the window of Gertz like these little tour guides, your little students like walking by. Well, I'm getting blasted. Like,
that's so
I'm funny. Kind of offended that nobody, while I was on my tour at McGill, nobody just like gave me a little warning, you know? Just like,
well, did you give anyone on a tour a warning, Rose?
True.
I don't know. I try to have a passive aggressive conversation with a friend each time a tour is coming, and I'm trying to be like, imagine willing, like, I don't know. McGill is savage these days. it's just really, really big.
They're crazy.
Little fish in a big pond, let me tell you that much.
McGill, oh my god, stop. You're being crazy. No, don't threaten democracy, McGill. Stop.
Anyways, so I don't really know how we can move forward. Like, can we email somebody to oppose this, or...
Well, they've already, like, our best Darshan, the Smoo president, they're like, as a collective body, the Smoo governing body has crafted a statement that they've published where they're like, we're not backing down. It was a democratically passed policy in a referendum. Like, it's staying in place. So Fabrice is threatening this action, but like, if he wants to follow through, I guess he'll do that next. But like, they're staying strong on this policy. From what I've read, like, the general, when you Google like McGill Palestinian policy or whatever, what comes up is like three articles. There's one by the Gazette, there's one by the Tribune, there's one by the Daily, and then there's like 18,000 like pro-Israel publications that are like,
really?
Terrible McGill policy gets, you know, rightfully struck down by, you know, wonderful McGill administration.
Whoa.
So it's weird. It's like tough to gauge public opinion in that sense, but at least what we know is that Smoo has been like, no, we're keeping the policy. So
well there was drama early when the Smoo like referendum was taking place and the Palestine solidarity policy was removed from the ballot, and so there had to be like a lot of campaigning to get it back onto the ballot because it just mysteriously left, which was already probably, you know, McGill sprinkling in its little non-democratic glitter.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And I mean, like, it's obviously it's a sensitive topic. Like, we all know this, and it is very difficult to separate anti-Semitism from, you know, being anti-Israel, but they are separate.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's important to remember also is that, like, you know, the argument that it's unfair toward Israeli or Jewish students, because Israel like owns and is legitimately recognized worldwide as the owner of like that land where, you know, Palestinians live, they have the power in Israel. Mm-hmm. So like anti-Semitism is an issue. It's a huge issue. It's terrible. But in Israel, like, they are the, by virtue of having power in that situation, they are the oppressing force. Mm-hmm. So when you are talking about Israel, you kind of have to separate the obvious oppression of the Jewish people around the world from the oppression that Israel as a nation state is inflicting upon Palestinians.
Yes, absolutely. They're mutually exclusive.
Two things can be oppressed. This we know now.
Yeah.
Two kinds of oppression can be true simultaneously.
And one can be oppressed and an oppressor in different contexts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, so what do we do as just students at McGill? Is there anything we can do to oppose this? I think the most important thing is just to be aware. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where to go from here, really.
Yeah, I don't know either. Honestly, like, I don't know. Like, if SMU was like, oh, okay, sorry, we're blacked down, then I think we could probably have a say, because like we control SMU, like we are
union,
and we voted.
Represent. Exactly.
Voted.
So like if they had been like, we are backing down, then I think we could say something. But I think as long as SMU is on the stance that, yeah, we're keeping the policy that was democratically elected or ratified, then we kind of have to just watch it play out, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know. I could be wrong. If I am wrong, which I definitely could be, email us, DM us on Instagram, and let us know, and we'll feature it in next week's episode.
I'm sure this is going to be an ongoing
discussion.
So I think, you know, if you want to communicate anything to us, we are open to any information. But thank you for listening to that portion of our show. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, All Things McGill. What else should we talk about?
How was COVID for you?
Yeah, do tell.
COVID,
I mean,
the week that never was because everyone had COVID.
What'd you say?
No, I just said, how was the week that never was because everyone had COVID?
Yeah, it was really sad to just be so isolated. But at the same time, it shocks me. Everything that happened, you know, when you entered the country after going abroad and then you come back in and you have to quarantine for 14 days without even knowing if you have the virus or not. And then in this case, you actually have the virus. Quarantine 5 days and it's not even like government, you know, enforced. So it was just really, really funny, the stark difference there in how we were just unknowingly going through all these motions a year or two ago, for nothing, you know. Anyways, so that was a bit of an existential crisis in my head. Every time I was just like, oh, I really stayed in my house for 14 days without COVID. but other than that, I smelled burnt rubber consistently for, I would say, like 30 hours. It was really weird. I woke up and I smelled burnt rubber and I realized it was like this ghost smell thing that you can have during COVID.
Whoa.
It's usually paired with losing your sense of smell. Like either you lose your sense of smell or you have these really weird ghost smells, and things that smelled good to you before smell awful. And so Maria was saying that she had a candle that she had loved, and then during COVID it smelled like trash. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah.
Anyways, well, that was my weirdest symptom, but other than that it was just runny nose. I had no fever and headaches and a cough and pressure on my chest. It felt like somebody was sitting on my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it.
My friend sorry, go.
No, sorry. I think my Wi-Fi is delaying me. Well, you go ahead. You go ahead.
I was just going to say that one of my friends from dance everything smells like trash to her now after getting COVID.
That's awful. Just, how long has it been?
That would suck.
Yeah, she eats like baby food because it's easy to like get down and it's nutritious, but like everything smells bad to her.
No, that's really awful.
And it happened like 3 months after she got COVID, and I think it's supposed to last for like 3 to 6 months.
Oh no. Uh-oh. I'm hitting 3 months.
She had COVID
in December,
and then 3 months later she started having this thing.
Yeah. Cause it's like a long COVID symptom, like because COVID like attacks your cells in your nose. And so when they grow back, sometimes they grow back funny. And so hers grew back like not like with receptors to make things smell bad instead of good.
No, and you know what?
I wish you guys could see our faces right now while Maya was saying this, because it's just me and Rose staring open mouth at our screen. God, that's dropped. Insane.
No, that's awful.
That's my worst fear. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know
you could never enjoy eating continued. Again.
Yeah.
I thought it started after you had COVID. Like, I thought it started during your COVID down, man down, and then it starts, and then you continue and have it for the rest of whatever.
Yeah, I thought long COVID was just that it kept going after you finished, like, your 14 days of having COVID or whatever. But no, like, the fact that your symptoms could start months after you finished having COVID, that's so scary. And yeah. Nobody knows that. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because, like, they don't know what symptoms are gonna like crop up in response to like you getting COVID later in life. That's why.
Like if I had known that, I wouldn't have gotten COVID from playing beer pong on New Year's Eve.
Well, you should be fine. You still like can taste food and stuff, right?
For now.
I think it's really rare. I wouldn't be too worried.
Do you think during the 3 months, could she not smell? Or taste?
No, I think she was just fine. And then suddenly, it like, that's how she described it.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Anyways, you gotta stay safe, everyone. I don't like that.
I know. No, that's freaking me out. I don't like that one bit.
I was shocked when she said that because, like, I had watched a TikTok about it, like, last year, and I didn't think anything of it because I was like, oh, that's weird. And then to have it happen to someone I know is so weird. Because it like clarifies that's.
Oh, and how long has it lasted?
She said it's gonna last like 3 to 6 months.
Oh, well, at least it's not like the rest
of it's not
of
forever.
Life.
Thank goodness.
Okay, well, I thought it was forever.
No.
Okay, well, that's not good, but that's way less bad than I thought it was.
You thought it was going to last forever, Annika?
Yes. Okay, whatever. Anyway, having long COVID would suck. We support Palestine and also democracy. And thank you for listening to our show. And thank you if you donated to CKUT this week for the funding drive. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I do not believe we met our funding goal, but...
How are your tattoos, you guys?
Mine is peeling like absolutely crazy.
Mine is
peeling too. I put lotion on it every day.
Same.
That's smart. I have not done that. I should probably do that.
Holy goose.
Yeah, you should do. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. This was All Things McGill, and we'll see you next week, or you'll hear us next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Coffee is killer, it's really quite good. It's been a long night, and I am feeling so good. She left me last evening, just walked out the door. So please top me up if you got any more. Black no sugar, right up to the top. 'Cause I've been to the bottom, I've wept my last drop. The only girl I ever truly loved has split the seams. Now all I got is a waitress and a dose of caffeine. Killer, it's clearing my head. Last night I barely slept in a big empty bed, so drove my senses, numbed this broken heart. Pour me another, let's drink to a fresh start. Up a brew, help me get through the day. Black, no sugar, keep 'em coming my way. Hey, hey.
Always the one left to apologize.
I can't make the hill. The system is shot. I'm living on pills, for which I thank God. My animal howls, my angels upset, but I'm not allowed a trace of regret. For someone will you, the thing I could not be. My heart will be heard impersonally. She'll step on the path, she'll see what I mean. My will cut in half, and freedom between. For less than a second, our lives will collide. The door open wide, and she will be born to someone like you. What I left undone, she will certainly do. I know she is coming, she will look, and that is the longing, and this is the hook. I can't make the hill. The system is shot. I'm living on pills, for which I thank God. My page was too white, my ink was too thin, the day wouldn't write what the night pencil in. But I know she is coming, and I know she will look. That is the longing. This is the hook. Like a swan, I sank like a rock, but time is long gone, past my laughing stock. I can't make the hill, the system is shot. I'm living on pills, for which I thank God.
I've always tried to be a pretty good guy, and I'm just not going to be treated like it.
Once you know what you have, I know when I'm just a boy, some stuff started. And the government came in, killed a couple, and the rest of them pissed themselves, went to the house, and nothing else happened.
Politica is thrilled to announce the theatrical release of Dear Jackie, a feature documentary by Henri Pardo. The film opens on June 17 in 4 theaters in Montreal: Cinéma Public, Cinéma du Musée, Cinémathèque Québécoise, and Cinéma Moderne, with the director and special guests in attendance at select screenings. Dear Jackie poetically tells the story of one of the oldest black communities in Canada, Montreal's Little Burgundy, by way of a cinematic letter to Jackie Robinson, the first black man to break the color barrier in professional baseball. It also masterfully connects history to the present by challenging the myth of a post-racial society. This release is co-presented by Desta Black Youth Network, Tyndale St. George's Community Center, Canteen Bergs, and Makisia Solo. For more information and tickets, visit cinemapolitica.org. We hope to see you there. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Ring, 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 CKUT. Yeah. Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, CKUT. 90.3, take it from me. It's the best, beats the rest. 90.3 CKUT.